of the Living Geek.
I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know what the hell is going wrong. We've had so many weird little technical issues.
They take time to figure out.
I seriously don't change anything.
I feel like we should point out how dedicated we are. We're missing some great rivalry hockey right now.
Oh, I should check the score.
Well, at the end of the first period, it was 2-0, Kings.
Oh, good news. It's now 3-0.
Oh, good. Thank you for reminding me of that.
All right. Anyway, welcome to Outwit, Outplay, Outcast, the Survivor podcast on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. Also on Outwit, Outplay, Outcast.com, hosted by Andy. Hopefully, or thankfully enough, that came out wrong.
Welcome to comics.
All sorts of other things. So we just watched episode 4 of Cambodia?
Five?
That was close. For someone who didn't bother writing it down, I was close enough.
I forgot about PG.
Wait, was she voted out last season or last episode, or was that? No, last episode was Jeff.
Yeah.
Before that. Yeah, partner.
Yeah.
Remember, Jeff got you 0 points.
Oh, okay. I'd forgotten. Oy vey. I'll tell you, I was actually real. So, people start posting things on Twitter, like, pretty much as soon as this happens. And I spent the entire episode swearing up and down a stack of Bibles that it was going to be Spencer who was gone, just because that's what it sounded like people were talking about. And so when it turned out that it was Monica, I was, well, I wouldn't say I was happy, but I was very relieved. And then I remembered I don't own either of them, so I didn't care. I forgot that I had dropped Spencer. Yeah, well, because guess how many points Monica got you?
I don't know. Can how many?
Less than one, but more than negative one.
Okay. You half a point? Can I get a point for
it? Half point, sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm putting that in the notes.
No, you're not getting, you get zero. Yeah.
0.5.
This episode started off great because everyone, like, they just got back from the tribal council, and Adam's like, "Don't worry, guys, he's in a better place." I was like, "What the fuck? Did they just kill Jeff? did he just die or something?" I mean, that made no sense to me whatsoever.
Okay, but think, no, it does too. Think about life at Angkor right now.
That's true.
It sucks ass over there, and they just lost immunity, and they just have to vote off somebody that probably was decently good.
Yeah.
And it's like they're in the suffering of this mortal life, and Jeff has been cast off the wheel of samsara into a better place.
Yeah, he's reached nirvana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Survivor nirvana.
Nirvana, otherwise known as a hotel somewhere on the mainland.
That's a lot better than where they are.
That's true. He gets to eat all the food he wants. Yeah, I just thought they were being a little overly dramatic. Because then, as soon as that's over, Adam and Tasha are, like, basking in the afterglow of their victory. They're just lying down and saying, "We did it. We came to this terrible beach." And Tasha's saying, like, "Oh, 6 days ago, I never thought this would have been possible." Which is a good point. Yeah, I mean, in fairness to her, it looked like they were dead 6 days ago. But they managed to not just survive, but to get rid of everyone who opposed them.
Just want to point something out. His name is fucking Andrew, man.
Am I saying Adam still? Jesus Christ.
Just call him Savage.
No. I refuse. God damn it. And I even wrote Adam in the notes. Oh, please hold.
You did.
You've called not calling people by their last names. Jeff doesn't ever call anybody by their last names, except for Terry. No other Terrys. Why? What the hell is that all about?
Wigglesworth. He calls Kelly Wigglesworth Wigglesworth.
Yeah, because there's two of them.
Yeah. He calls...
Name. He says Kelly Wigglesworth.
He calls Jonathan Cochran Cochran, but that was because Cochran asked for it, because he knew that Jeff only calls the people that he likes by their last name. So by the transitive property, we know that he doesn't like anyone on this game. He says Fishbach.
Yeah, he likes fish and he likes deets.
Yeah, that's it. That's his two. Those are the two. Ooh.
And Wigglesworth.
You know what, Brian? You just cracked the code. Good for you.
It's Brian's show. I have Wentworth. Damn.
Good job. We just discovered Jeff Probst's secret strategy here. All right, well, so the next day after, you know, everyone wakes up. What the hell is the name? They're not Takeo, are they? Or is it Bayonne? It's Bayonne. We get drama over at Bayonne over clams. It's like, that's how you know a tribe has been so successful. They're like, oh God, we're farming too many clams, guys.
But my favorite is the fallout. I love this quote from Kimmy. "I'm not used to having someone give me their opinion where it's not welcome. I had just come out of staff meeting." And I was like, "Oh, Kimmy, you don't have a job, do you? You don't have, like, an office job. That's, like, all That's all sitting in office is getting emails of people giving you their opinion when you don't fucking give a shit about their opinion. It's like my life.
Or maybe she's her own boss. Maybe she's a white collar at heart. Who knows?
No, no collar at heart.
Damn it.
Oh my God.
I am worthless today, you guys. I don't know what's wrong.
That's fine. That makes you a good host.
It's all good. Anyway. Although,
I was completely on Kimmy's side with this argument because I was thinking exactly what she was. Are you really like so like full of yourself that you think the six of you are going to eat like all of the clams and the entire fucking beach? Like, give me a fucking break.
Okay, so here's the thing though. And I just realized, so while editing these things, I've come to realize I say here's the thing a lot, but I don't care. That's my verbal tick. Anyway, here's the thing, guys. Take a shot. They were arguing different things. Kimmy thought that Monica was saying, oh, we're going to eat and we're going to damage the ecosystem or some dumb stuff like that. But what Monica was actually saying was, hey, look, we're here for potentially another, this is day 12, we're potentially here another 28 days. If we eat all of them now, we're not going to have very many to eat later. So we should dial it back just a little bit.
They're not going to eat all of the clams in 20 days.
They're not going to eat all of the clams on that entire coast. But the more they eat near them, the further out they're going to have to swim later on. Because those clams don't just spring back that quickly. It'll take a couple of months for them to repopulate.
Yeah, clams are pretty slow to move.
Maybe even a couple of weeks if you want to be optimistic.
Yeah, not really setting any land speed records.
They're only going to be out there like 30 days. If they completely eat all of the clams near the beach, they're going to have to be swimming pretty far to get fresh clams later on when they're really going to need them. Like right now, they kind of need them. And what did Kimmy say? But I want to eat. Like, yes, we all want to eat right now. But really, think about what it's going to be like on day 35 when you're fucking starving. A clam would be nice. Especially if you know how to get them and where they are.
Those things are huge. Like, I'm only familiar with clams in their chowder form. So I don't know how much.
Swing that way, huh?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that would mean.
I don't know what that means either, but it's disgusting.
I need to look that up on Urban Dictionary.
So, regardless, so I don't know how much actual meat is inside one of those things, but those looked really big.
You see when Abby was trying to pry it out, which was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
Because apparently it was alive, and she screams, and Wu is just sitting there with a really gigantic smile on his face.
That's the first entertainment he's had the last 12 days.
If I was Wu, I would hate her.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I mean, from my perspective right now, I love the Brazilian tiger, or it was the Brazilian dragon. I don't know.
Brazilian dragon.
From my perspective, I love her. But
to skip ahead just a tiny bit, like later on, you had the perfect like characterization of all four tribe mates on Angkor. Because they're sitting around and they're talking about, you know, how Wu's mom had a heart attack and thank goodness she's alive and all that kind of stuff. And Andrew says something somewhat classy and pretentious in a foreign language. He says, "La vie est belle." And then Tasha just kind of says, yeah, you know what? Life is precious. And Abby Marie stared off into space and glared. And then Wu just kind of dumbly says, yeah, man, I love life. And it's like, that sums up the four people on that tribe so much. You got one who's pretentious as hell, one who's kind of connected, but a little bit spacey, one who's just angry, and one who has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So Savage tells a story about his hot wife, and everybody cries their friggin' eyes out. Wu tells a story about how his mom almost dying from a heart attack, and they're just like, yeah, cool story, bro.
Even worse, I love Abby. She's like, I had a tendon problem before.
That's
the same, Abby. It's not even fucking close.
I never thought I would say this, but to defend Abby Marie, she laughed after saying that, so she clearly knew it was just a joke.
I will happily throw her under the bus and make fun of her.
Yeah.
And we will happily make fun of her, but I think we have to realize, like, legitimately in that moment, she has to sit there and think about whether or not Wu did that from his heart fully, or a little bit for the game, and a little. If
I'm
it
sure
was
he
even
did it for the game.
Yeah, but even if it was a little bit for the game, Abby Marie is totally justified in poking at it. And I mean, she'll come off looking like a terrible person, but she'll put that seed in somebody's head. I mean, we make fun of Abby a lot, but mostly it's her reactions that are funny. The initial emotion that drives her overreaction, though, is usually valid.
In this case, though, I mean, let's face it, we get to see Abby Marie for episode 6 in a row stirring up more drama bullshit. Yay.
You know why this episode was great? This episode was not all about Abby.
That's true.
This episode was all about dumbass Monica.
Yeah. And
this
episode
was all about Bayonne sucking, losing both challenges, and just like, what the hell happened there? Yeah, they lost both. Yeah.
It was a complete system failure centered mostly around Monica. Like, she hadn't really done anything in this game up to this point, so they finally start showing her, and what's she doing? Screwing up.
And well, they had to show something before she got kicked off.
Like, okay, what was the line that Kimmy had in there? Monica is playing for Monica, and there was another quote. She's such a nice person. She's such a neat lady. All the things they've said about Monica are just like, yeah, okay, but let's vote her out.
They're also all really generic. Kind of like they just like, hey, so after the fact, can you guys just say some nice things about her and we can throw it into ADR? We'll do it as a voiceover or whatever. Because we just realized all she did was she bent over once or twice. And that's about it.
You know what, though? That's the thing. I think she played to the wrong strengths. She played out there, like, she mentioned the Women's Alliance, and I think that was the problem. Like, don't worry about the number of women there, because that's not who you're going with. Your job out there is to look pretty, which you do pretty good, Monica, and get the men to vote with.
In fairness to her, and granted, I mean, I've got many feels on this, but in fairness to her, she thought she was playing a good game and like, all right, I'm going to make a Women's Alliance and do all this kind of that, the other thing. The problem is, it's not a good move because you want to be in an alliance with someone that you have stuff in common with, and you've got to bond over more than just the fact that, look, we both have, is it Y chromosomes? No, we both have two X chromosomes. I did not do very well in biology, as you may tell. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like she was expecting like, oh, we're women. That's all we need to have in common, right? And it's like, no, you need a lot more than that. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's not like season one or two anymore when it was just like, okay, we need an alliance. Well, this is a nice arbitrary thing to bond over. Okay, great.
Well, not only that, like, you're winning. You don't, like, we're on the top. Maybe I should screw it all up right now.
Yeah. Well, it's not like she did anything wrong in the... I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. I thought you meant in the immunity challenge, because she sat out of that. But you mean afterwards. Because when they were jockeying for tribal council, she really did just kind of get herself voted out there. Like, it was
going Kelly for a while.
It was going Kelly, and it looked solidly Kelly. And then all of a sudden, she's like, actually, you guys, I would like to shoot myself in the foot right now.
It was probably something she just like, let fly. Just like a fleeting thought that she didn't vet enough in her mind. And that's all it takes.
Well, I actually think what it was is that she overestimated her bond with Kimmy. Because the thing of it is, compare Kimmy with Abby Marie, for example. If Abby Marie had been in that clam discussion, she would have been like, why are you eating all the clams? I'm going to eat as many clams as I want. Blah, 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 blah. And they just would have had a big old fight. Whereas Kimmy was just like, okay, great. And then she went to the camera and just said, oh my God, I'm eating all the goddamn clams. I do not care what she says. You know, and so Monica didn't know that she had pissed her off. She thought, hey, we're solid. How about we just form our own little alliance of just women? And then sure enough, Kimmy, the first thing she did was just go, all right, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And then run to the men and say, she can't be trusted. She's a snake in the grass. Title drop. And let's vote her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got nothing for you there. That's yes.
Excellent summation. Good job. All right. That'll be the end of this episode. All right. See you guys later. No, we'll talk more. The one thing I will say also, this was between the reward challenge and the immunity challenge, Spencer and Jeremy went off sailing and fishing. I swear to God, I just got the, like I can't wait for Jeremy to adopt Spencer as his little boy.
Wasn't there a moment with Jeremy and Fishbach?
Yeah, there was. What were they saying? It happened. That's all I can remember. It was not... Was there?
So is Jeremy becoming like the nerd whisperer?
Kind of, yeah, in a way.
It's too bad Shireen's not here. He could have like had like his nerd
his nerd posse, his separate little nerd alliance. Actually, you know what?
Hey, all of you little nerds, come to me. I will win us some challenges and just be my vote.
You know, I'm actually really liking Jeremy's game because he's playing that. Okay, they want to make this old new school divide, which we kind of reject. But he is playing, to use their parlance, a very new school game by setting up alliances with everyone. But he's also playing a really old school game by being useful and thinking about the tribe as a whole, that kind of thing.
And he's going to these quote unquote new school people and building bonds with them in a way that is old school.
Yeah.
You know, like he's caring about them as people. in a way that will benefit him in the game.
Yeah, like the way he made buddies with Spencer. If you remember the first episode of this, when Steven was looking for the immunity idol, Jeremy's like, oh my god, he's looking for the idol. I hate this guy. I'm going to be very mad for a little while. He got over it. Like, you know, and now they seem to be really cool, you know, that sort of thing.
So what you're saying is, Andy, that he's going to start Spies R Us version 2.0.
Oh yes. My god, that'd be great, but not insane.
I can't wait for that. So yeah, around camp, we got a good spread of stuff around the camp this episode, which is nice. Because, you know, as I've said before, that's what I liked about the previous seasons. They spent more time looking at the actual people as people instead of as just pure straight-up game players. The thing they're spending a lot of time on is the whole second chance motif. Like, what I like is...
The challenges have been repeats.
Yeah, on things that people lost at, which is a nice little touch. And it really gives people that opportunity to make up for it. Although, I question how much they made up for it in this episode. Because in the reward challenge, for example, they're like, oh, Sierra, your tribe screwed up last time, right? So, she finally wins. That's great. But they're like, you redeemed yourself with your second chance. Good job. It's like, all she did was push a barrel around.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't do anything. Don't get me wrong. It's not like there was a whole lot for her to do because Keith was just the skee-ball champion of Cambodia. They didn't need her to do anything. But yeah. Oh, I should actually. So the challenge itself was you had to stick. For some reason, you had to stick somebody inside of a barrel, roll that barrel around, and then have that person get up on top of the barrel to grab some bags of balls. And then at the very end, there was a little skee ball course, and you had to roll the balls into the skee ball. I can imagine two production assistants just arguing on the beach, one of them saying, we want to do a skee ball challenge. The other one saying, no, Donkey Kong. And then somebody just said, guys, how about we just do both? And thus this challenge was born.
You know, they might even have just a bag of challenge ideas that could be individual. Like, either one of those two halves would have made decent individual.
Just like they put challenges. They put them, write them down on paper, put them in a hat, and then pull out two and go, all right, make it work.
Later on, they're all going to be too tired, right? You're not going to want to make them do both, especially because then it takes away a team aspect, right? But either one of those would have made a good individual challenge. But if you want to do a group one, just throw a couple of those. Like, just, all right, we want a three-stage challenge. All right, let's pull three things out of the hat. They're going to go from one to the other to the third. Done.
We got swim, we got barrel, and we have net. How do we make this work? Well, we could have them swim a barrel through a net. Good job. Like, someone promote like that, man.
That your version is one word things. I'm just imagining like little icons. Like, what's this picture? What can we do with this?
No, this one was this one. Net. This one was barrel, and then Mark from catering was just like, I'm going to write skee ball down just as a joke and see what happens. And then they're like, God damn it, Mark. How dare you? This is Survivor season 30, whatever we're in. How dare you not treat this thing? Now we have to make the skee ball challenge. How are we going to do that?
I want to point out, it was more like the horse race game than skee ball, but...
No, because horse race, you know, I've never actually played horse race correctly. The one time I did it, I was like...
You roll the ball up and try to get it to land in one of the holes.
Well, because the thing is, the one time I played it, I was 5, and they explained it to me, but I didn't know how it works. So I just grabbed the ball and threw it right at the horse, like overhand style. And I hit it, but it didn't move. It didn't move. And then the carny guy just laughed at me. I was just like, okay, I guess I'm never going to play another carnival game again. Thanks for giving me a complex.
You were just like, fuck you, horse.
I was like,
your face.
I made the throw count because I didn't know, like, all right, how am I going to get the ball back if it just goes there? So I hit it. I did not win. But yeah, it was a good reward. What'd they get? They got a tarp and some
chairs
food.
Chairs,
some really comfy looking chairs. That was good. Mm-hmm. And then yes. Angkor, surprise, surprise, because Wu even admitted that he went to Chuck E. Cheese a whole bunch, which was great. He managed to win them a tarp and utter the classic Ricky Bobby line of, you know what, for us, second place is first place. It's like, oh my God. You shine on, you crazy diamond. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm going to point out that this challenge is one of the ways where you see just like the smallest things prove how stupid a person is.
Yeah.
So everyone else who got into the barrel did the smart thing, just get in feet first and roll into the fetal position. Monica went in ass first and folded herself in half, feet are in front of her face.
I saw that.
And one time she stopped upside down and had to be pulled out by her feet.
I saw that. I was like, how do you even get in there that way? That makes no sense to me. I was laughing my ass off. And then she was like you had to unwind some ropes or whatever to get the balls. And Wu was just kind of like, I'm making a vigorous hand motion right now that doesn't really translate over an audio medium like this, but he just like unwrapped it like, bam, everyone done, bam, bam, bam. And Monica's like, hold on, I've got to undo each one.
Yeah,
she was so bad at this. I was like, we've waited 6 episodes to see you do something, and this is what you do? Disappointment. Disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very disappointing for me.
Yeah, I should imagine. Not that it mattered, because she gave you 0 points, even if they had one.
No, I got a half a point for her.
You know, you got 0. I'm gonna change that back.
Wait, you can't take it away now. You gave it to me just this episode.
I giveth and I taketh.
God damn it! Why did I like you, the host?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You really should have thought of that before you gave me this limited amount of arbitrary power.
At least she didn't like lose you any points that you would have got. She was gonna get 0 anyway.
Oh, that's a good point. You're right. Yeah, that whole tribe just gave a whole bunch of goose eggs. The other thing that I was interested in with this challenge was that Jeremy, like, all right, he did all right to begin with getting that one in. And then as soon as he started to have trouble, they let Spencer get in. And then he got like 3 in a row and just got them right back into that game. Spencer has been really impressing me, like, with his, like, cause, you know, he says, oh, you know, I'm just the nerdy, quiet guy and I don't know what I'm doing and emotions are confusing. And Jeremy is my new dad and everything's great, but he's actually been really good at challenges. We'll go on to the immunity challenge in a second here, because we covered all the tribal or the camp stuff. But even in the immunity challenge, when everyone was running to get up to the catapult or whatever, he paced with Joe just fine. Like, he ran up there.
I think Joe's good at making sure his energy level is even through the whole thing. I think this is what makes him good in challenges.
Hey, Joe
doesn't burn out dumbly in the beginning.
Don't take it away from Spencer. Why are you being such a Spencer hater? Spencer's just as good as Joe.
There's nothing wrong with being
Spencer's not as good as Joe.
No, that's not even. But, yeah, you're right.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I mean, Spencer is in a different class from guys like Joe. Or Jeremy, even, or last year, Mike. Like, well, I don't know. Spencer might be on the Mike level. Like, you're good enough to be competitive every time.
Yeah, he looks decently strong.
He's still clearly better than a Steven Fishbach or a Cochran would be.
Hey, don't talk about Steven that way.
Okay.
He's clearly I love that man.
Cochran. You know, like, he's in that solidly middle level where you never expect him to win, but you're not too surprised when he does.
Right. Or at least when he's hanging in. So the immunity challenge, we'll jump ahead because we covered, we already talked about who won and who lost, and Monica lost the challenge for a tribe. Good job. I'm sure that won't bite you in the ass in a minute here. So then they go back to camp. Good stuff happens, which we already covered. And then it's immunity challenge. Hooray. And it's a challenge from previous season that wasn't fully explained. Like, if you remember this challenge from last season, and we were trying to figure out like why Joe just didn't fire every ball, and it was because, like, this time they explained the rules a lot better. Everybody has to fire at least one time and then you can tag out, and so that made a lot more sense.
And if you get one, you have to tag out
immediately, which is kind of great, because it led to situations where it was like somebody would get one, Abby Marie jumped up, and then she fired once, missed, and then immediately ran away, and then that person came right back up.
See, but that's the thing. They probably tell them those rules behind the scene and then cut it so it just looks fun and interesting and hope that nobody really gets too granular about the details of the rules.
Yeah.
But because it was confusing last season for a lot of people, I'm sure they're like, okay, we actually should explain a little bit more.
Yeah, because normally it doesn't really matter. Normally it's pretty simple. It's like roll the person in the barrel, get the balls, or it's hit 3 things and do whatever, stand on your head for an hour. And so normally you don't need that many rules explained. But this one, the whole cycling in and out was what was confusing last season. This season, not so much. This season, what was so confusing is why Steven thought it would be a good idea to shoot at the other target.
I was reading, no, and this is the crazy thing. I was reading an interview with Jeff Probst, I think it was Entertainment Weekly or something, and Jeff said that apparently while they were walking through the challenge, Spencer even asked Probst, what happens if we hit somebody else's, does it count? And then lo and behold, like 10 minutes later, fucking Fishbach does it. Like, what?
Well, Jimmy almost did it too.
It was
did
obviously you, in his head.
Did you read the other side of that story though? And I got this from Twitter, from Stephen Fishbach's account, which I don't follow, but somebody Shirin retweeted it. He was saying that the answer to that question was Jeff was like, "That's not going to happen. None of you're gonna screw up that badly." And Stephen's tweet was like, "I just wanted to show him. Yes, indeed, I can screw up that badly." I love that guy. I don't think he's going to win because he's making all, like, I think he will get second or third place, but I don't think he's going to win because he's making the, like there's going to be too many questions for him to answer. Like, so during that immunity challenge, why did you shoot one of our targets? You know, that sort of thing. Like, he's not going to be able to defend himself the way he was able to in Token Chains and then just JT won because JT was awesome.
I don't know. It's too early for me to give an opinion. Now that I'm like trying to give an opinion, I'm like, no, I'm just gonna shut up.
At this point, it's all hot take material. We don't know anything. Like,
I honestly think though, I think Joe is gonna get real late into this game.
Yeah,
like not just to the point of jury, because he's said, and I should have brought this up when we were talking about the second chances thing. He has obviously sat down and analyzed what he did wrong. He knows his vulnerability. And it's easy to say like, oh, Joe recognizes that he's too good and he's too big of a threat, so they vote him out. But he's also said, like, what I'm doing here is instead of getting a really tight bond with two or three other people and having a small, tight group, I'm casting lines out everywhere.
Yeah.
Joe wants to be the guy that nobody wants to write down. Maybe Joe's not in an alliance with everyone, but nobody wants to write his name down. Because aside from doing all the good stuff, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, and he's really trying to emphasize that. And I think that's going to really pan out for him. So if I had to do a hot take, like throw in the dark like you do with Fishbach, I would say one of my picks for super late would be Joe. I mean, aside from the obvious physical prowess out on the beach doing his yoga.
Yoga.
Yoga, that's right. But he's playing a better cerebral game too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas some other folks, not so much. Spencer making a good use out of a second chance. I would say Terry.
Abby's making good use out of hers.
No, she's not. She's throwing that away. Same as
she's still here.
She's still.
She has controlled at least three votes. We have voted out five people, and three of them have been chosen by Abby. Whether you like it or not, Abby is running this game one way or another.
I don't want to live in this world anymore.
Okay, face it. This is better than last year when Rodney was running the show. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
I
mean,
if you have to,
I'm tired of this continuity. I want to go to Earth 616. It is bad, but you know, the other ones, the ones that really don't seem to be making a use out of their second chance very much is Kelly Wigglesworth, and to a degree, Terry. Terry thinks he's making a good use out of it. Like, he thinks he's making all these friends, but you've seen on on Takeo. They made a tribe, and Kelly just straight up said, Kelly Wentworth, that is, just straight up said, it's the five of us and Terry on the outside, because I spent all this time kicking him under the bus. And he was out there swimming and having a good time, and everyone else was plotting his demise. So he thinks he's doing well, but not so much. The other one, though, is Kelly Wigglesworth. Like, during the whole, so after her tribe loses this immunity challenge, this good, that's what we call a segue, she just kind of, like, she disappeared. You didn't see her making any strategic moves or trying to argue her case or do anything. She just sat around, it seemed.
Yeah, oh, this thing. What invisible players are there left? There's Kelly.
I would say Kimmy. Up to this point, I would have said Kimmy. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Cass.
Hey, Sierra. I'm going down the list. Yeah. Sierra. Yeah. Did you guys know there's a Sierra playing this game?
I did. She just, you don't understand. She just redeemed herself by winning that second chance challenge by rolling the barrel.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't even know she was in the game. You would have no clue.
You know, so the thing about Sierra is she has not been to Tribal Council at all yet.
That's a good strategy.
She and Keith
don't go to Tribal.
She and Keith do not have torches yet. And that's why we haven't gotten too much of them. the way the politicking went on this one, I like the fact they didn't even bother trying to hide the blind side from you at all in this episode. They just showed you the anatomy of it, and it worked flawlessly because everyone gets, yeah, like the Bayonne tribe gets home and everybody says, we're good with Kelly, right? We're good with Kelly. Everyone's good with Kelly. Gun to your head. We go to Kelly. Okay. And so it looked like it was going to be 5-1 Kelly. And then Monica just has to go and run her mouth.
Shoot herself in the foot.
Shoot right in the foot. Just Spencer got the survivor porn of the week when he said that he was used to being the guy on the bottom. Yeah. And he's just like, I'll look for any way out. That was great. But, yeah, and the interesting thing was they did not even tell him about the blind side. I guess ostensibly because they figured we don't need to. If we don't tell him, then he cannot do anything crazy like try and throw the game out of whack.
Yeah, no, I mean that was the right play.
Yeah, which gave a great look on his face when the first Monica came up, and oh my god, thing that I absolutely love about a good blindside tribal council like this when they know everyone goes in with their agenda. Is the people voting for Monica. So it was Kimmy, Steven, and Jeremy. They were essentially just subtweeting this entire time. Like, anytime they were asked a question, they were answering it like bad-mouthing Monica. Not even really bad-mouthing her, but explaining why she had to go. And Monica this entire time thinks, oh, they're talking about Spencer or Kelly. I don't have to worry. And then as soon as she gets voted out, she goes, oh, shit, that was all for me.
Yeah, the retroactive realization.
Oh, that was great. And she didn't say anything. She got voted out. She had that look on her face. She just kind of like stared into a 1,000-yard stare, walk into the abyss, and she was done. Oh, poor Monica.
Which I mean, this is, as reactions go, this is a classic blindside reaction. Yeah.
This was great. It was
beautiful.
Yeah, and neither Spencer nor Kelly saw it coming, which was great also. Yeah, but I was just, yeah, that was great.
Especially no, it makes that blindside all the more beautiful.
Well, because you saw, like, if I wish we had, like, a graph, but you could see when Kelly's name comes out first, she's watched enough of this show to realize, oh, that means I'm gone, doesn't it? Shit. And then Spencer sees his name, and he's like, oh, I'm a little bit worried. Kelly sees her name a second time, and she's like, oh, and she looks resigned.
Her bag.
Yeah, and the entire time, on the other side, Monica's just getting happier and happier and smilier and smilier, and then her name comes up, and all of a sudden, all three of them are just like, oh! They're like, colon, capital O, emoticon. They were amazed.
I love Monica turning around looking at him. You sons of bitches.
Oh, but what was even better, though, was Kimmy's shit-eating grin and nod like, yeah, we got you. We got you.
That's what you get for talking shit.
Yeah, that's all gonna eat my fucking clams.
I'm gonna destroy this fucking ego.
Yeah. We're gonna.
And then he's gonna live in this polluted motherfucker. One time,
Cambodia's gonna have a 40-year clam shortage.
You know the clams that I'm gonna shit in your ocean, Monica. I don't know how we got that far.
Yeah, that you took that to a dark place.
I do that.
But yeah, so we lost Monica, which in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, I'm sad because I lost out points, but really, I put her on my team because she's an attractive female, which generally is not a bad way to go. But you also have to have a little bit of brains, or at least brains enough to shut up.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, if you're an attractive person and you have brains enough to shut up, and I'm not even just attractive female, if you're an attractive person, you have brains enough to be quiet and let people shoot themselves in the foot left and right, you can win $1 million. Yep. It ain't that hard.
That's Woo's game, do it. In a nutshell.
Yeah, you can do that, and that's fine. But Monica didn't keep her mouth shut.
Oh, no.
That's all you got to do sometimes.
It's insane that she literally was going to get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it was going to be Kelly. It was 5-1. Spencer was on board. Everyone was fine. And Monica just decided, I don't like this. I'm going to do something stupid. And got herself voted out. With unabashedly so. It makes zero sense. But what are you going to do? Some people are self-destructive that way.
I mean,
she'll just have to wait till Survivor Third Chance.
So, no, sometimes
You'll be voting along some party lines, and you'll create the opportunity for another alliance to come up because of people that you have voted out. And I think she was just trying to say, like, hey, take a second. We want to think about if we go down this road for one or two more tribals, where does that end up for our tribe? Then are we shooting ourselves? And like, she was just trying to make sure that the women on that team weren't shooting themselves in the foot by walking into a setup where it's men versus women and the men are 3-2. She was just throwing that idea. Like, I don't know. It's not a bad thought to have and to check on.
If she had prefaced it like that, it might have worked out.
Yeah.
She was just like, right now, we need to not vote out a chick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't realize, like, at this point, so far, no Bayonne members had been voted out. She's the first member of Bayonne. So at that point, her tribal affiliation would have outweighed any gender affiliation.
Yeah.
And so she threw it away by overthinking, basically. Because there's two kinds of students of the game. There's the one who just overthinks everything, and there's the other one who just wants to make a move for the sake of making a move. Like, if you remember way back to Survivor All-Star, the first All-Star season they had, Lex got himself screwed over because he voted out Colby for no other reason than because he could. Like, and he thought it would be silly. And that was it. And that really bit him in the ass because they still needed the strength. And so, yeah, he lost himself that game by voting out the one person because he's like, wait, we can make a power move right now. But that's the thing. So you need to wait until the proper moment to make a power move.
Yeah. And I'm worried about this because in the section where it shows tidbits from next week, Fishbox sitting there talking to Jeremy, and he was like, this will be a big move. If we do this, it sets the tenor for the game. And I was like,
no,
you're not doing too bad though right now.
Yeah.
Spencer. You and Jeremy are doing okay. You don't need to do this.
Well, time will tell because we have to wait and see.
Yeah. We haven't seen what happens next week, but just looking at these first five episodes, you have insecurity, Fishbach, about your level of strength. You've had insecurity about that since day one on this season. But if you can set your securities aside, you'll see that you're not doing too bad. And you might not need to make a move just to set the tenor of the game. I feel like that's coming from I want to do something useful and smart and show that I'm useful and smart for my alliance or whatever. I don't know.
He's trying to make Jeremy his JT. He needs to relax, calm down. Be an earthbender.
Cool, calm, and collective.
No. No. Sometimes, though, seriously, the best move is no move at all. Just like what happened with Kelly, essentially, this time around, is she didn't make a move, and it worked out to her favor because it meant Monica got to shoot herself. And so she survived.
At a certain point, it's going to be you or it's not going to be you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. And she just... let that happen instead of burying herself deeper.
So the interesting thing about it, though, with Steven, that is, the interesting thing is that will there even be an immunity challenge as we are led to believe that there's going to be a medevac? Are they going to eliminate two people? Is it going to be a twofer episode?
I'm
betting on that.
You guys can.
No, I don't want to bet on that.
You know what? I'll put a couple points. I'll put like 2 points on saying that somebody act like twofer? it's going to be a twofer.
I will bet 3 points that it is not a twofer.
I don't want to do three.
Two.
Two? Yeah, okay. We'll do two.
You're already in the lead by a lot.
Yeah. And you know why I'm in the lead? Because I've been conservative with my bets. So we'll recap the bets then. Did you...
We need to talk about this first out bet because... we suck.
We are bad. Yeah.
Because Cass and Keith have never been to a tribal. And Tasha, who should have been out as soon as they switched tribes, immediately went to the top of that tribe.
No. Yeah. We're all of us really bad at this Deadpool game.
I was closest so far, though. I'm going to put that out there.
That's fair. Yeah, you were closest.
That was none. Then we had a full-on genitals bet.
Still none. That's free points for me. And then
Brian and I have an Abby Maria merge week bet. Brian says Abby's gone the week of the merge or the week after. I say any other week. And we have another bet that's going to happen on the merge week. But that's whatever, that happens later. And we did an over and under on how big the merge tribe was going to be at 11.5. We just got the new bet, the twofer for next week. We'll see how that pans out. But for fantasy, fantasy. I feel like I need like a chimes. I need to hold chimes right here and do that for the fantasy. I don't know why.
I could add it as a drop, but I don't know how to do that. Oh, I do know how to do that. I just don't care enough.
So, Nick, so basically everybody got 2 points this week because Bayonne lost both challenges. So they got 0 points, but Bayonne went to tribal. So if you had somebody who went to tribal as part of Bayonne and survived, you got 2 points for that. So everybody got 2 points except for Monica. So, Nick, you got 2 for Fish, 2 for Yay. Savage, and 2 for Jeremy, giving you 6 on top of your 21.
Yes, but
so
how Nick, many points do I get for Jeff?
You have 20. No, Jeff is gone. Jeff gets you 0 points.
Oh, that was last week's joke. All right. We're not. That joke will never be spoken
Nick,
again.
Nick, you have 27 points to total. Brian, you got 2 from Abby, 2 from Wiggles, and 2 from Keith, giving you 6 to give you 26 added onto your. So you're 20 from last week plus 6, giving you 26. And I had Joe, Wentworth, and Monica. So I got 2 for Joe, 2 for Wentworth, and 0 for Monica. So I had 20 from last week. I'm adding 4 onto that, giving me 24. And I get first dibs at the waiver wire, and I'm thinking about who to add. Sierra's an option. I like the invisible people, but that backfired on me this
week.
The
other Sierra, last season it worked out.
Yeah. So I'm leaning towards Tasha and Spencer, because Spencer's under Jeremy's wing, and I really like Jeremy. And Tasha, honestly, has been playing pretty good this season, much to my surprise. I think I'm going to go with Tasha. I'm adding Tasha.
Now she gets voted out.
Hey, then I still get points because that means I win the first out bet. Brian, you're next on the waiver. Why you have Abby Marie, Kelly Wigglesworth, and Keith. Is there anybody you want to get rid of?
I feel like I should get rid of Kelly because she's definitely on the bottom of her tribe. But you just took the person I would replace her with. So
wait, why not? Why not
but
take
you know
Spencer?
No, you know what? I want to drop her and take Sierra.
Taking Sierra?
Yeah.
All right, drop Wiggles and Sierra. Done.
You spelled it wrong. There you go.
Yep.
I also spelled Wiggles wrong twice.
You put a vowel in there. That's all that matters.
Wigglesworth has 1 G, and then I misspelled Wiggles.
No, you just spelled it like the Australian band.
I don't even know what that means.
My God.
The Wiggles. Okay, well, you're having a kid soon. You're going to learn who the Wiggles are.
No, I'm not. My kid's listening to AC/DC and Metallica.
So I used to work at Suncoast, and we sold these Wiggles videos. They're kids' videos. It's an Australian band. And he's just, you know, colors, whatever. And this guy comes in, and he's looking at the Wiggle videos. And he comes up to me, and he's like, so are these on sale? I was like, yeah, they're on sale this week. He's like, all right, cool, I'll buy a couple. And it's like, all right, cool. And so I'm ringing him up, and he's like, these guys are really good. And it's just, you know, it's too bad they all have AIDS. And then he just walked out the door. And like, the thing is, he didn't say it in like a homophobic or judgmental way. He just said it as like, it's a matter of fact. It's like, it's a real shame that they all have AIDS. And so I went home, I looked it up on Wikipedia. I was like, yeah, no, they don't. I'm just like, what is it? What? Like, I was just so amazed by that guy. Just like, matter of fact, he's saying, yeah, it's a shame. And then going away.
Oh my God. I have to do that to somebody now.
No, don't. Please. I don't even know.
The opportunity will rise, and I will do it.
I don't know if I'm going to keep that story in or not. That's
Are you going to be at football on Sunday? Because I might do this on football on Sunday.
I will be in football this Sunday.
Yes.
At least until
I have
noon.
To be there. I'm playing Rage's team.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great. Yeah, I'll probably keep that in. Why not? That wasn't offensive. Right. It was some weird, crazy guy. My guess is he bought them because he thought they would become collector's items. I don't know. Just want to put it out there to all possible fans of the Wiggles. They are not anything wrong with them. I don't know. Anyway, I'll keep my team. There we go. That's the end of that story.
All right.
So that pretty much sums up this week. Next week, it looks like we might be getting a medevac. We may be getting a tribal council, which I'm feeling pretty good about since Steven and Jeremy were talking about changing the complexion of the game. So I would have jumped on that stuff if I were you. Is there anything else we want to add before we go?
If we do get a medevac, I do win the first out bet, I would like to point out.
This is not for this show, but my other podcast, Welcome to Comics, challenged a show from the Night of the Living Geeks Network, Super Sugoi Cast. They haven't had an episode in a while. Their hosts have been moving. But my podcast challenged theirs to a Gundam building competition because we watched some Gundam and read some manga and their Japanese stuff. So it works, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
all we're doing for the competition, we posted the pictures of our Gundams up on Facebook. And if you can go by, click like on the ones that you like, whether you think they look cool, whether you think they were well built, whatever criteria you want to use, just drop a like. Go to facebook.com/welcometocomics. There should be an album pinned to the top called Super Welcome to Sugoi Comics Mega Gundam Building Throwdown. That's the name of the competition. And whoever gets the most likes, I'm going to buy them a free Gundam kit. So,
yeah.
Honestly, go drop and a like on whatever one you think is cool.
While you're at it, go listen to some of the back catalog of Super Sugoi Cast. They were really good. Alex and... Is your husband's name Justin? Yes, Justin.
Yeah, Justin.
Yeah, I met them a couple times. They were really cool people.
I've
now
played
they
magic
live
with Justin. He's yeah. a good guy.
Now they live out in Ohio, which is a terrible, terrible place. I'm sure they'll be back soon.
Apparently, we no longer have listeners in Ohio.
What? Like we had them before.
Hey, you don't know that.
Well, no.
I'll look up her stats.
Maybe we had two. We might have had two, and I'm sure their names were Justin and Alex. Go to nightoflivinggeeks.com, NOTLG.com, rather. Sorry, it's an acronym. And maybe just listen to a thing or two of something else. Maybe listen to Magic the Chattering. Maybe listen to Girls Interrupting. Maybe listen to Podcastica. They just did an interview with one of the companions that I don't know because I've actually never seen a single episode of that show. But one of them.
Oh, and they have a new show out about all of the television comic book shows.
Well, we did our obligatory shilling. Yeah, well, our voluntary shilling. We don't have to do this stuff. And we talked about this episode for as long as we could, so I think we're done. So we will see you guys next week with episode 7? Is it 7? Sure, why not? Episode 7 of...
Six.
Episode 7. Yeah, so I'm going to pretend that's what I was saying. We will see their episode 6, our episode 7 of Survivor Cambodia, and that's it. So I guess have fun. Don't say a Wiedersehen. Use a different language. Au revoir. Tschüss? What?
Tschüss. What the hell? Tschüss. Tschüss.
What language is that?
It's also German.
Shut up. All right, well, we'll see you later. All right, goodbye.
Guten Tag.
No, that's good morning. All right, let me hit stop.
I said good day!
Night of the Living Geeks.